Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 21 lines from the top. You will notice the beginning words of our shiur will be from Toni Rav Tachlifa Bar Marova. Before we learn the Gemara text itself, let us glance at the side where we have our nosei, a topic heading, which reads as follows. Liyashev, we are coming to resolve. Ha dekotani bebraisa, that which is stated in a braisa, a Tanaic source. Shnayim adukim betalis, two are holding, are competing for possession of a particular garment, a talis. Ze noitel ad mokoim shiyodoi magas v'chulei. And we'll see in the braisa that one takes the amount that is within his hand, that which he is physically grabbing onto, and the other party takes that amount as well, gets as his share that amount. And the balance, the material that remains between them, that neither one is holding onto, will be split equally between the two competitors. So we want to take that information that's in the Tanaic source and resolve it im ha-mishnah, the lo katoni ad mokon shiyodo magas elo shecholkin. Our Mishnah also speaks about two people holding on to a talis, but no mention is made of each one receiving up till the amount that they are holding on to respectively. Now, the Gemara. Toni Rav Tachlifa Bar Marova Kamei Derav Derabi Avo. So Rav Tachlifa teaches the following Tanaic source in the presence of Rabbi Avo. Shnaim Adukim Betalis. Two are Adukim, means holding on to a talis. Ze Noitel Ad Mokom Sheyodoi Magas. This one takes up till the amount that his hand is grasping. Ze Noitel Ad Mokom Shiyodo Magas, and the other party, the competition, so to speak, the competing force, the other person in this case, takes up till where his hand is holding. Vashar Cholkin Bishov Vashar, the balance, they divide equally. Machvi Le Rabbi Avo, and Rabbi Avo points out. Machvi means to point out. He was the one who heard this source taught, and he points out u b'shvua. The division spoken of in this source is with an oath that each one takes to support their respective claims to possession of the talis. Ela masnisin dekatoni depalgi bahadodi. Our Mishnah, on the other hand, that says that the two people holding on to the talis split it, gotani, and it does not say in our Mishnah, ze noitel ad mokum shiyodo magas, that each one takes off the top that which they are grasping onto. Rather, in our Mishnah, you have two people holding on to a talis, and the Mishnah doesn't make any reference to any division of the talis off the top prior to the splitting, but rather the entire talis is divided right at the outset. Why the difference? So hechi mishkachas lo, how are we to understand the circumstances of the Mishnah? Omar Rav Papa ditfisi bekarkashto. The Mishnah is a case where each one isn't really holding on to any amount of the talis, any of any great significance, but rather each one is holding on to the karkash. The karkashta, we can say Rashi gives you a French word for that. So the French equivalent in English is fringes. Each one is holding on to the fringes of the border of the talus. And in that case, there isn't any significant amount that each one is grasping onto that we should say that each one gets that off the top. Omar Rav Misharshio. Rav Misharshio, reflecting upon the Tanaic source that Rav Tachlifa taught, said, Shma Mino, we can conclude from this source that said that each one gets ad mokum yodo magas, that which each one is grasping onto is considered theirs, even before any further division takes place. From that idea, we learn the following. Hai sudra. The sutra literally is a piece of fabric which is used in a kinyan sudar. Kinyan sudar is often referred to as a kinyan chalipin, where a party that's interested in acquiring an item will take a piece of fabric, a handkerchief, if you will, and give it to the seller of the item. And in exchange for the seller receiving possession of that handkerchief, he transfers ownership of the item being sold to the buyer. It's we'll call this a representative transaction, a deal clincher, which is what essentially a kinyan is. The kinyan, in the case of the kinyan sudar, we conclude from what we just learned that possession is achieved by that which your hand is holding on to. That which your hand is holding on to is considered yours. So in the case of the sudar form of kinyan, we say, Kevon de tofis bay shalosh al shalosh, when the buyer takes possession of an amount of that sudar, of that fabric or handkerchief, amounting to 3x3 fingers area. It's a small amount, 3x3 fingers size. Karinon Bay, we refer to that, the verse that is the source of Kinyan Sudar, which says, Vinosan Lereyehu. It's considered as if the buyer gave something to the seller. De Keman de Posik Domi Vikoni. It's as if that which is in your hands is cut off. It's cut off being considered yours, completely yours, and through that the kinyan takes place. Let us look at the Rashi as well. Rashi that we're looking at is about halfway down the Rashi column. Shma mino midikotoni. Shma mino, you see, is abbreviated shin mem. Shma mino midikotoni ad mokum shiyodo magas konui lo. From the fact that in the source Rav Tachlifa presented, it says that which is in your hands is considered yours. Hai sudra shel kine shekinen bo kinyan, the handkerchief used by the purchaser to actuate a transaction. Kevon de tofis bay makne shalosh al shalosh, once the seller is in possession of 3x3 etzbois, fingers of fabric, karina bay v'sholof ish nalo v'nosan l'reo. That's a posik from the book of Ruth, which we understand to be the basis of a kinyan suitor transaction. It's considered as if you have given him something. De keman de posik domi, the fabric held by the seller in the kinyan suitor example, it's as if it's cut off. You don't need to take a scissors or rip apart a piece of fat, the amount that's in his hand, but it's as if it's separated. V'kanyo makne, and the seller acquires that fabric. V'hamecher nikne boi lelokech, and the item sold is transferred to the purchaser. V'davke nokat sholosh al sholosh, the 3x3 finger dimension that was cited is a minimum, a specific amount. The kli bo'inon, for in order to effectuate a transaction, you need to have something that's classified as a kli, a vessel. Dechtiv na'alo, the posuk that we cited above made reference to na'alo. Na'alo is a shoe. So since a specific vessel, a shoe in this case, is cited, the amount of fabric to constitute a minimum amount of kli, a minimum amount of vessel, qualification is 3x3. Ubatsir mishalosh etzbaos, less than 3x3 fingers of fabric, lav beged hu. Kirashkon gabituma. It's not considered a beged, a garment. A garment, a shoe, a kli, they all constitute the catalyst for establishing a transaction, a kinyan sudar. Let us turn back to the Gemara. Umay shno me derav chista. What is different about our teaching that stated that which you're holding on to is considered in your mind's eye cut off and completely yours? What is different between that and Rav Chisda's teaching in the case of a divorce event? The Omar Rav Chisda, get biyado umeshicha biyado. If a man divorcing his wife gives her a divorce document, the divorce document in this case also has a string attached to it in the hands of the husband. Im yochol lenaska ulahavioi etzloi eino migureshes. If the string is such that the husband could yank on the string and slip the get away from the woman, the wife that's holding on to the get, she's not considered divorced. The imlav, if his drawing on the string would not be able to yank it away from her, imagine the string connection is very weak and it would rip and she would remain in possession of the get, then migureshes, then she is divorced. But focusing on the first point, namely if he could yank on it and bring it back regain possession of the get, she's not divorced. Well, but why not? Why don't we apply to this case that which she is holding on to is considered in your mind's eye cut off and hers? Why does Rav Chisda say that his ability to yank on it and get it away from her, she would not be considered divorced? It sounds like she's not considered in possession of it. In the case of the fabric above, no one spoke about the ability of the buyer who presented the sudar to the seller and his ability or lack thereof of yanking it away and getting it. Didn't make a difference. Even if he could yank it away, the deal is nevertheless clinched. The Gemara says there's a fundamental difference because between the get and the case of kinyan. Hossam, in the case of a divorce, krisus bo'inan v'leka. You need to fulfill the concept of krisus. The pasuk, the verse in regard to get, says, because of lo sefer krisus v'nosan v'yoda. Krisus is literally a cut off, a division, a physical separation. And if the husband can still yank on the string and recover possession of the get, you don't have a reflection of cut off, of actual cut off. Haha, in the case of a kinyan, a transaction, nesina bo'inan. All you need to accomplish is the nesina, a giving, as we saw in the verse that we saw in Rashi earlier, v'shalach ish nalo v'nosan l'reyehu. We need nesina, giving, v'ha'ikon, that is accomplished in the case of the handing over of the fabric, even if it's a mere 3x3 fingers possession of the fabric, and even if the buyer could yank away the fabric, nevertheless, at the point that the seller holds onto shalosh al shalosh etzbaos of fabric, the nesina aspect has been accomplished. And with that in mind, we have a distinction made between the standards we apply to the giving of a get and the standards as applied to a transaction. Omar Rava, im hoisa talis muzheves chalkin. The Gemara opens up here with Rava's point, and that is that if it's a golden talis, they divide it. The two people competing for possession of it divide it. Rashi adds a word. Rashi, im hoy sotalis muzeves, klomar, afilu hi muzeves. Even if it's a golden talis, they choke and they split it. The Gemara asks, pshita, that's obvious. You have two competing parties for possession of the talis. What difference does it make whether it's golden or not? Of course, they will divide it. Lo, tzrichano, what Rava is saying is necessary to be taught. Dekoi davo be mitzri. The talis isn't one piece of solid gold, but rather it's a piece of fabric with a strip of gold, bay mitzi. Now, bay mitzi means in the middle. The Gemara asks, well, ha nami pshita. If it's literally in the middle, so they will be splitting it as you would have understood on your own without Rava telling us they split it. So hence, when the Gemara answers, well, there's a strip of gold in the middle, well, honami pshita, that is also obvious, namely that you will split it without Rava needing to tell me. So the Gemara says this description of Bei Mitzi is not like we thought, but rather lo tzricha, Rava's teaching is necessary to be taught, the mikriv legabi dechad. When we say that the golden strip is in the middle, it doesn't mean like we thought literally in the exact middle, but rather it's between the two people competing for possession of the talis. However, it's closer to one of the two parties. Neither one is actually in physical possession of that gold strip, but the gold strip is closer to one of the competing parties. We have a little illustration to the side of the Gemara text. You're looking from the top at the talis with a pas zov. The pas zov that you see in our illustration is a gold strip. There's a dashed arrow running horizontally. That dashed arrow in the horizontal direction represents the midpoint, and as such, the gold strip is closer to the party, we'll say, on the top of the diagram, on that side of the talis. And therefore, Rava is saying, don't divide it according to the dashed arrow line that runs horizontally. Mahu detemo. Let's continue with the Gemara text. And we say, Mahu detemo. I would have thought without Rava, the Omar le ploy kochi, that the party with the gold strip closer to him would be able to claim, let's split the talus across the middle, in the according to the horizontal dashed line. Komash Malon, the teaching of Rava comes to tell us the Omar Le, the other party says, "My choses de palgis hochi." What is it that you see that it should be split the way you are suggesting, across the middle in the horizontal fashion? Plog hochi, yes, divide it in half, but according to the vertical dashed line that you see in the diagram. And if you divide it like that, so then, in fact, each party will get half of the gold strip. Tonu Rabbanan, Shnayim Adukim Bishtar. Here we have a Tanaic source describing two people competing for possession of a shtar, of a document. Document is a very broad translation, so we have to be more specific here. We're dealing with a document of collection, a bill of collection, where you have a malva, someone loaned money to a lova, to a borrower. Possession of the shtar, if it were in the possession of the lender, so it would indicate that the loan is still outstanding, it hasn't been paid up yet. Generally, when a loan is paid up, the document is torn up. So here we have the two parties, Adukin, are grasping onto the shtar. The lender is claiming it's mine, it fell from me, and he found it, the borrower found it. The loiva omar shelcha hu. The lova, the borrower, is also in possession of it. Grants, he acknowledges that it it was yours, namely, I borrowed the money, and this was the document reflecting my having borrowed the money in the past. Uparativ loch, however, I have paid it up since. And when a lender pays, when a lender receives payment, so the shtar is returned to the borrower. And that's what the borrower is saying. Yes, it was a bill of collection that I wrote for you to collect from me, but I've paid it up since. Yiskayim ashtar b'choysim of divrei. Rebbe says the method of resolving this controversy between the two parties is through signature verification. And what would happen then if the lender can verify the signatures? So you will be able to collect with that document. Reb Shimon Gamliel Olimer Yachloku. And Reb Shimon Gamliel says the amount in the document is, we'll say Yachloku. Before we get into any detailed explanation of that word, let's simply say it is divided. There's the Gemara will be discussing at some length what do we mean by dividing it. But that's Reb Shimon Gamliel's approach. Divide. Nofal liya dayan lo yotziu oilamis. Here we're going to translate. The Gemara is going to redo or upgrade the explanation further in greater detail with accuracy. Here we simply translate. If the document fell to the hands of a judge, then it is not... it's not taken away from him permanently. Lo yotzio lomis. In other words, neither the malva nor the lova will gain possession of the shtar. Rabbi Yossi Yirmer Harei Hu Bechezkoso. And Rabbi Yossi says that the shtar remains as its given or current status. Once again, literal translation. The Gemara now goes over the points that we've learned with a fuller explanation. Omar Mar, Yiskayim, this is in the case of the two grasping, holding on to the bill of collection, and we saw in the source, Rebbe said, Yiskayim Ashtar B'choismov. The shtar is subjected to signature verification, and then what? That we have to explain. When we translated the source, we gave you the impression that if the signatures are verified, the malva is able to collect the amount in the shtar. However, that ruling is not so obvious. It's not so it's not necessarily reasonable. So the Gemara asks with a tone of wonderment, Vegovi lay malve kule, from what Rebbe said in the source, that if the signatures in the bill of collection are verified, the malve, the lender, can then go and collect the full amount. Valeslei masnisin shnayim oichsin vechule. Does Rebbe not hold from the Mishnah that opened up our Masechta to holding on to the talis? Division takes place. You have two holding on to the shtar. What about division? Omar Rava, Omar Rav Nachman. So Rava explains, quoting Rav Nachman, "B'mekuyum divrei hakel yachloku." If the document that the two parties were competing for possession was a document that already had been verified, mekuyum means had already been exposed to court verification, everyone would agree, yachloku, that the amount in the document is split. Let us look at Rashi right under the Gemara text at the end of the line, kuli alma lo pligi yachloku. Everyone would agree division takes place. Not only Reb Shimon Gamliel in the source who spoke about division, but Rebbe as well. That which Rebbe said, have the shtar verified. Lola migvi malva kula komar. Rebbe never intended to say, like we had been explaining initially, that the malva, the lender, would collect the full amount. Ela lemigvi palgei. The verification would result in the malva's ability to collect half. Uplutayu kasheinu mekuyam. The machloikis between Rebbe and Reb Shlomo Leal is with a shtar that has not been verified. The two are holding on to an unverified, or as yet unverified, document. Rebbe Sovar, af al pi shehaloive meidele shekosav shtarze velova leimais. Rebbe holds, even though the borrower conceded that this shtar had been written up in order for him to be able to borrow money, and he borrowed money through this document. To repeat, even though the borrower acknowledged the authenticity of the document, tzorach ha-malva l'kaimoy b'choismov, the malva, if he's going to get any amount from this document, the malva, the lender, will have to verify the signatures. V'afilu hashtar biyodoy, even if the shtar, the document, were in the possession of the lender, the malve, ne'mon aloy v'loy me'paraticha, the love is granted believability in a claim of I paid it up already. The chosman she'ne mekuyim, as long as the signatures have not been verified, man ko mashvilei shtara, who is acknowledging the authenticity, who is establishing the authenticity of this as a document? Loiva, the borrower himself. Shemoide boi shekosvo. He is admitting that he wrote it, that he borrowed with it. Ah, but homadre paria. But he is saying that he paid it up. We have a concept of pesha, also a pesha hitir. The same mouth that established the document as authentic is the same mouth, is the same one claiming that it's paid up. So that as far as Rebbe is concerned, if there is no verification, the Love is scot-free, has no obligations. Avol Mishtar Musuk Alpiedov, once the document's authenticity is established through the witnesses, Ein haloive nemo loime parati, the borrower is no longer believed to say, I paid it up. Hilkoch, ze shishne muzokin. Therefore, in the document that the two are in possession of, the two are competing over, e mekayim le malve beedus, if the lender can verify the shtar through testimony, umashvi le shtar ma'alyo, and through that establish it as an authentic document, ein haloive ne'mon ba'mirosoi, el yadei chazok ezeh she'odukbo, the loves, the borrower's believability is not any stronger than his possession of it, that he's holding on to it. Vayreu kishar mitzio bolig, and it would then be like any other found item, and they would divide. So that as far as Shitas Rebbe is concerned, the idea of dividing is dependent on the Malve's ability to verify it. If not, Rashi goes on, lo polig, and if the Malve cannot verify it, no division. Even if the entire document was in the sole possession of the Malva, the Lova would still have believability to say, I paid it up. So, as far as Rebbe is concerned, the idea of dividing doesn't begin until the Malva is able to verify it. If not, the Malva will get nothing. Let us turn back to the Gemara. We're going to read the Gemara again from five lines from the bottom, where it said, Ki pligi, the machlokis Rebbe and Rishon Gamliel is b'sheinu mekuyim, where the document has not been verified. Rebbe Savar, Rebbe is of the opinion, Moide b'shtar shekosvoi, even if the love, mode means concedes the authenticity of the document, that I borrowed money through this, Sorach Lekaimo, the lender has to nevertheless still verify it. The acknowledgement of the borrower is not enough to empower the lender to collect with it. The lender will still have to establish or verify the authenticity. If the lender is able to verify it through testimony of witnesses, then there will be a division. If the malve does not establish its authenticity, no division. Namely, the malve will get nothing. My time off. Why? Why is that? Answer: Chaspo bi'almahu. The shtar is like a piece of shard. It's worthless. Manko mashvile lahai shtara. Who is establishing the shtar as having any authenticity? In the absence, of course, of kiyum, in the absence of court verification, who is establishing the shtar as a shtar? Loive. The borrower is the one who is acknowledging, yes, I borrowed with it, but ha kolamar deburiba, that same person is saying, I paid it up already. So just like you would believe him to establish it as an authentic bill of collection, believe him when he says, I paid it up already. That's as far as Rebbe is concerned. Rav Shumaliel, who said there is division even without additional verification. Why is that? He holds Sovar Moide Bishtar Shekosvoi, the borrower that concedes that I wrote up this document in order to borrow money, Ein Tzorach Lekaimo, the malve does not have to verify its authenticity. V'Avagav Delo Mekayim Le, even if the malve does not establish authenticity through court verification, through testimony of witnesses, the fact that the lover, the borrower, conceded the authenticity of the shtar, that is enough to empower the malva to collect. And at that point, since both are holding on to it with their respective claims, yachloku, division takes place. So according to Rav Shimon Leo, division is going to be the method of resolving this even without further court verification of the authenticity of the shtar. According to Rebbe, without further court verification of shtar authenticity, even though the lova is conceding he wrote it, there is not going to be any division. Namely, the malva will not be able to collect anything. We continue with another quote from the source above. Nofal liadayan lo yotziu oilomis. We have a little star to the side of the Gemara text enabling you to see where above this line came from. If the document, the bill of collection, fell to a judge, so it's not removed from his possession forever. That's the literal translation. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. My shno liad dayon. What is the difference between a judge and anyone else? Omar Rava Hachi Komar. So Rava explains that you have to reread or re-understand the source as follows. So you can see we have the next six lines in a frame indicating this is the accurate understanding of the Tanaic source. At the beginning of the source, we saw two, the Malva and the Lova, competing for possession of the Shtar. The Achir, however, if an outsider, Shemotso Shtar, Shenofal Liad Dayan, if some outsider found a bill of collection that had once been in the possession of a judge, Vehechi Domi, what do you mean by that, by a Shtar in the possession of a judge? Kagon de Kosov Be Henpik. Henpik is an official court seal indicating the shtar was verified through the testimony of witnesses, either the witnesses that signed on the document, testifying to the signatures there and being theirs, or outside witnesses testifying concerning the authenticity of the signatures. They're recognizing the signatures. When that takes place, a court seal is applied to the shtar. We call that, which we refer to as a henpik. a court verification of signature authentication having been made. If an outsider found a bill of collection with a henpeck in it, lo yotziu olamis, it's not given, it's not literally taken away from that party, neither given to the borrower nor to the lender. Velo mi baya lo kosav be henpeck, and I need not tell you about a shtar in which there is no henpeck, concerning a bill of collection where there's no court verification, there's room to say that no money was ever borrowed through it. In other words, a borrower wrote up the document, he wrote up an IOU, but never really borrowed with it. Even with a henpeck found within the found document, lo yachzir, it's not to be returned. You're not going to give it to the malveh. The chayshinan lepiron, we suspect that maybe this found document had actually been paid up. Rashi says on the fourth line from the top, lepiron shemo emes toina lova sheporo. Maybe the lova's claim of his having paid it up is true. The Gemara goes on, Rabbi Yosi Oimer Harehu Bechezkosai, a shtar, a bill of collection that was found by an outsider that had a court verification, a henpeck within it, is considered a shtar that's valid. And it's given to the malveh, it's given back to the lender, the lo chayshina lepiron. And according to Rabbi Yossi, we do not suspect piron. We do not suspect that it had been paid up. The Gemara asks, "The lo chayish Rabbi Yossi li piron? Does Rabbi Yossi not suspect that maybe it was paid up?" The Tanya, and we now have a Tanaic source. You'll see Rabbi Yossi's name appearing in the source. We're going to understand after reading the following source, we're going to come out with the impression that Rabbi Yossi is Choshesh Le Piron. Why then would Rabbi Yossi say in our case of the found shtar, the found bill of collection, give it to the malveh? Now the Gemara. Do we not V'hot Tanya? Do we not have the following source, Motzah Shtar Ksuba B'Shuk? A ksuba document. A ksuba document is essentially a bill of collection given to a woman upon her marriage, enabling her to collect money, the financial guarantee given to a woman upon marriage to collect in the event of divorce or her becoming a widow. So a shtar ksuba was found b'shuk in a public area, b'zman shabal moideh, in the event that the Baal, the husband, admits that he never paid it up, yachzir l'isha, then you give the ksuba back to the woman. Ein habaal moideh, if the husband is not acknowledging, rather he's saying, I paid it up, lo yachzir loy lozeh v'loy lezu, it's not given to the husband, nor is it given to the woman. Rabbi Yosi Oimer, Rabbi Yossi says, if the woman is still a married woman, then the shtar ksuba is given to the woman. A person doesn't pay a ksuba prior to divorce. So if she's still married to the man, give the ksuba to the woman. Nisar meloy nisgar shab. Lo yachzir, if she is become widowed or divorced, it's not returned. Lo lozeh v'lo lozeh. If we're dealing with the case of divorce where the two parties are alive, it's not given to the husband, nor is it given to the woman. Now, what we've done with our markings, we've dashed, underlined, lo yachzir. Rabbi Yossi is saying, do not give it to either party. Why don't you give it to the woman? Because we suspect maybe she already received her ksuba payment. So what do we see? Rabbi Yossi is Choshesh Lepiron. Above, Rabbi Yossi said, Hareu Bechezkoso, the shtar with the court verification and is given back to the lender. And we're not Choshesh for Piron. We don't suspect that it's been paid up already. Well, how do we resolve these two sources? The diamond that you see is explained on the side of the more under our no say. The topic heading, we indicate Hemshech. This is a continuation of what we've been discussing till now. And the Mivneh, the structural note, we combine them into one. And here, on the side of our Gemara, we've presented a diamond. Gishos, these represent approaches. The Yashev Stira Bein Mekuros with the Reb Yossi to resolve what appears to be a contradiction within the words, within the opinion of Reb Yossi. Binyan Chishish and Peron, regarding the topic of do we or not suspect payup has already been made. So the first approach, Epoch. Nofal liadayan, lo yotzi olomis divrei Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara here is switching around the top source, the top frame source, where the bill of collection was a shtar that was verified. It's not given to either party. That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Why? Rabbi Yossi is choshish. Maybe it was paid up. It has its assumed status as being a bill of collection, and therefore give it to the malve, give it to the lender, to and he'll be able to collect with it. So what did we just do? We resolved the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, in the case of the ksuba, we said is choshesh l'piron, and by switching around the above source, Rabbi Yossi is also choshesh l'piron. Ihachi, if you're going to do what we just did, namely the switch around of the earlier source, kashio derabonan adarabonan, we've now established we've created a contradiction within the opinion of the rabbonan. In the case of the court verified bill of collection, the rabbonan come out holding no chashash l'piron. In the case of the ksuba, the rabbonan are choshesh l'piron. The rabbonan said that if the husband does not admit, then it's lo yachzu lo lozev lo zev, no return is made. The Gemara responds, shtar ksuba kula Rabbi Yossi, the case of the ksuba source, doesn't have two opinions within it. It's entirely authored by Rabbi Yossi. It's entirely authored by Rabbi Yossi, who is choshesh l'piron. Once we switched around the top source, Rabbi Yossi comes out the opinion of choshesh l'piron, and the source involving ksuba is exclusively Rabbi Yossi, where he's choshesh l'piron, v'chisurei mechaser v'achi katoni, and the ksuba source is missing information, and the full explanation is as follows. Ein habal moideh, a husband does not admit that he still owes the ksuba, rather he claims, I paid it up already. If the husband's claim is, parati, I paid it up. Lo yasu lo lozev lo lozeh, the found ksuba document is not returned to either party, not to the husband or to the wife. Bamed vamurim, when do we say that? Shenisar malon is garsha, where she's a widow or divorced. Aval oidu tachas baila, if she's still married, yachsir li'isha. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, then the ksuba is given to the woman. Yossi says that if you're dealing with a still married woman, and as we indicated earlier, it's not customary to have a ksuba paid up while she's still married, then we're not risking ourselves by giving the shtar to the woman. If, however, she has become a widow or divorced, it's not to be returned to either party. Up till now, we have learned approach number one, the diamond number one, in resolving the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi is the opinion that says choshesh lepiron. We suspect, we take to account that maybe it was paid up. As we continue, we encounter now diamond number two. We also have a double underline highlighting the name Rav Papa, and later Ravina. Approaches 2 and 3 also to resolve the seeming contradiction within Rabbi Yossi. Rav Papa Omar le'olam lo tepuch. No need to switch around any sources. Rabbi Yossi le'divrayim de'rabbonon ka'omar lehu. Rabbi Yossi that we saw above was responding to the Rabbonan. We saw Rabbi Yossi in the Ksuba source, a found Ksuba, and Rabbi Yossi there does not reflect his own opinion, namely that we should start worrying about payment. Rabbi Yossi does not choshesh for Piron. That we saw in the source at the top of the page. So what is Rabbi Yossi trying to accomplish in the Ksuba source? Rabbi Yossi is speaking to the Rabbonan on their terms. L'didi, as far as I am concerned, afilu nisarmelo nisgar shanami lo chayshino lepiron. Even if the woman was widowed or divorced, I'm not going to suspect that maybe the husband had already paid up, and we give the shtar back to the woman. Namely, not only if she is still married, like the Rabbanan said, not only if she is still married would we give the shtar to the woman, says Rabbi Yossi, but even if she has become widowed or divorced, we give it to the woman, enabling her to collect the ksuba. Lidithu, however, according to you, the Rabbanan, Odo li mihas, you should, however, concede to me, if she's still married, at least then concede to me, give it to the woman, to lav bas pironi. At that point, she's not eligible to be paid up yet. She's still married. The ksuba payment is made only upon divorce or widowhood. The omru le rabbonan, and the rabbonan who are choshesh lepiron, the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yossi, Amor, even if she is still married, I still suspect Srori Akbisa. That husband had literally tied up some coins in a pouch and entrusted those to her possession while still married. And that those coins represented her ksuba payment. And hence, it would not be acceptable to return the ksuba document to the woman at a point where she may already have, as a married woman, received, in effect, her ksuba payment in the form of the tsori, the coins tied up in a pouch earmarked for her ksuba. Just to restate the obvious at this point, by giving the ksuba document to the woman, If we take into consideration the tsrori possibility, the ksuba document would enable the woman to make a second collection of the ksuba. Ravina Omar, li'oilam epuch kamaisa. Ravina goes back to, let's say, approach number one, where the first source, the case of it falling, a verified document, falling out of possession. Let us switch around that source, and the result of switching that around will have the Chachomim saying, Harehu Beches Kosoi. The document is still valid, and the Malve, the lender, will be able to collect with it. V'taymo de Rabbonon Hocha, the Rabbonon in the case of the Ksuba, who say, do not give it to the woman, mishum de chayshinon l'shtei ksubos, because we take into consideration the possibility that there were two ksubas, that the woman received a ksuba in the past, lost it, got a replacement ksuba, and giving this back to her will then enable her to collect two ksubas, wrongfully collect two ksubas. Rabbi Yossi, l'shtei ksubas lo chayish. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, does not worry about that. And hence, Rabbi Yossi tells you, in the case of the ksuba, you can, if she's still married, you can give it back to her. The Rabbanan, though, in the case of the two ksubas, will tell you that even if she is still married, we suspect that she lost her original ksuba, got a replacement one, and now you'd be giving back to her the lost one, and she'd have two ksubas, enabling her or empowering her with the possibility of unlawfully collecting the ksuba payment twice. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Shnayim Adukim B'Shtar, two are in possession of holding on to a bill of collection, Echad Aduk B'Toyfes V'Echad Aduk B'Toyref. In a shtar text, in a document text, you have standard information that indicates that a loan was extended. You have the names of the lender, of the borrower. Though that standard information appears in the body of the shtar, and it also appears on the last line of the shtar. The toref is essentially the essential main part of the document, and the tofes is the standard form of the document. We'll go over some of these details as we go through the Gemara and glance at Rashi. So now the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Elazar. Machlekes, the disagreement we saw above between Reb Shimon Gliel and Rebbe, in the case of Shnayim Adukim B'Shtar, their machlokis was when both are on equal footing. B'Shishneim Adukim B'Toyfes U'Shneim B'Toref, where they were both holding on to the Tofes, both holding on, or both holding on to the Toref. We take a look in the Rashi. You'll see halfway down the Rashi column, Machlokis Hayachloku Dekomer Reb Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the source on Amud Aleph that spoke of splitting, demashma chokim b'shoveh, that implies there's an equal division. Kach shomati mishum Rabbi Yitzchok, Rabbi Nachum v'nir Rabbi Einai. Rashi says he got this explanation from Rabbi Yitzchok, one of his teachers or sources of information. Ushneim adukim b'toref, Rashi goes on. Klomar oy shneim adukim b'toref. Rashi is clarifying the Gemara, which said both are holding onto the toface, and then the Gemara said ushneim b'toref and both onto the toref. The vav of that word ushneim b'toref means or both are holding onto the toref. The toref gilui shel shtar mokom aloyve v'amalve v'amois v'azman. The toref is that part of the shtar, of the document that has the name of the borrower, the lender, the amount of money, and the date. Toifes is shar koloshen shtar. The toifes is the other language of the document, the standard text of a shtar. So now, in the Gemara, we pointed out that Reb Shimon Gamliel, who spoke about an equal division, that is applicable when both competing forces, the Malva and the Lova, are holding on to either the Tofes or both are holding on to the Toref. Aval echad aduk b'Tofes ve'echad aduk b'Toref. The Gemara goes on to say, if one is holding on to the Tofes section of the Shtar and the other the Toref section, ze noitel Tofes ve'ze noitel Toref. Each one gets that which he is holding on to. Rabbi Yochanan Omar lo'oylam cholkin. Rabbi Yochanan says they will always divide. Question: V'afilu echad aduk b'toyfes ve'echad aduk b'toref. Even if one is holding on to the toyfes and the other the toref, v'hotanya, But we learned earlier, Zed Neitel Ad Mokim Shiyado Magas. Each one, in the case of the two parties holding on to the talis, each one holding on to a significant but different amount of the talis, each one gets that which they are holding on to. Why would Rabbi Yochanan say that if one is holding on to the Toref and one is holding on the Tofes, there's an equal division? Lo, Tzricha, the case Rabbi Yochanan was addressing is the Kei Toref Beimitzi. The Toref is between them, is in the middle. E Hachi Ma'ilam Emra, if you have two parties holding on to the document and the Toref is in the middle, so of course you're going to split. What's the need for Rabbi Yochanan to tell us the obvious? Lo Tzricha. No, Rav Yochanan is needed for the following. And what we have now is very similar to the illustration we had on Amud Aleph with the golden strip. So here we're not dealing with the golden strip, but we're dealing with the Toref section of the document that is between them. And Rav Yochanan is dealing with specifically the case of the Mikrav Lagabi Dechad. The Toref section of the document is closer to one of the two parties. Without Rabbi Yochanan, you might have thought that the one unto whom the Toref is closer will say, divide the shtar across the middle, giving him the possession of the Toref, giving him exclusive possession of the Toref because it's closer to him. The teaching of Rabbi Yochanan reveals to us that the other party has a response, and he can say, "My choses the bal gizochi plo kochi." What is it that you see fit to divide it across the middle, giving you exclusive possession of the toref? Divide it vertically, and each will get half. I'm sure most of you are wondering, what are we talking about here in dividing a shtar? What are we taking a scissors and cutting it up? What difference does it make? Who gets which text, etc.? Stay tuned. We indicated earlier that we have to go through the Gemara to gain full clarity. Omar le Rav Acha midifti le Ravina. Rav Acha asks Ravina, take advantage of the little star to the side of the Gemara text and align this with the star above. The Rebbe Lozer de Omar, according to Rebbe Lozer's teaching that's above, that said, Zen Neitel Teifes Vezen Neitel Teref. Rebbe Lozer pointed out that if one is holding onto the Tofes and the other holding onto the Teref, he who's holding onto the Tofes gets the Tofes. He who's holding onto the Teref gets the Teref. Lama le. What do they need? What do they need that for? V'chilotzer apitz luchiso hu tzarech? Are we talking about cutting a document, the paper, to use as a bottle stopper, stuffing the paper into the top of the document, so the person holding onto the tofes will use that part of the paper to stuff into his bottle, and the other, the one holding on tzarech, will use that part? It's obviously, that's not what these two parties are arguing over, namely the eventuality of getting parts of the shtar to use as a bottle stopper. What are they arguing about then? What is the value of the division when you speak about dividing, giving this one the tofes and this one the toref? Omar le, so he answers, Ravina answers, Rav Acha, le domi. The issue is a division of financial concern, money, value division. Notice we have a long answer marking. Before we go through the Gemara, we glance at the Rashi, Ledomi. Rashi's a bit up from where we are here in the Gemara. Ledomi, Malin, Bedomim, Kama Toref Yofim in Atofis. We evaluate how much more valuable is the Toref of the Shtar more than the Tofes. Still, we haven't explained anything of significance, but we're going step by step. Two people holding on, competing for possession of a Shtar, one holding on to the Toref, one holding on to the Tofes. Division according to value. The Omar Hochi. We go on, we continue in the Gemara. We say as follows. Shtara de is Beizman, Kama Shavi. Udales Beizman, Kama Shavi. a bill of collection that has a date in it, how much more valuable is such a document than a document that has no date in it? And now we get really down to the main point, which we haven't revealed up till now. A toref section of the shtar is better than the tofes section, insofar as only in the toref part of the shtar do you have a date. As far as the names are concerned of the lender, of the borrower, the amount of money, that information is contained in the tofes part of the shtar as well. And Rashi points out the reason for that is that that information is repeated in the last line of the document, which is part of the tofes. The date, however, is not repeated. With that in mind, we go back to the Gemara. A shtar that has a date in it versus a shtar that has no date in it. B'shtara de'ispeis man govi mimeshavdi. A shtar that has a date in it enables the lender not only to collect from the borrower, but in the event that the borrower has no cash, the lender can seize upon land purchases that were concluded after the date of the original loan. A date in the shtar thereby empowers a lender, extends his collection powers beyond the borrower himself, but to all those that may have purchased land from that borrower after the initial loan took place. So a shtar that has a date in it, we enable the lender to collect even from purchasers. The idach lo gavi mimeshavdi, a shtar that has no date in it, we do not allow the lender to approach any purchasers. Purchasers will always be able to say, if there's no date in the document, we bought our land before you ever gained a lien on that property. Your lien on the property of the borrower is only from the point in time following the loan. We bought before that. So a shtar that has no date in it is a type of shtar where the lender cannot seize collection from subsequent purchasers. So if you have a bill of collection, the face value, maybe it says $100 was loaned by Mr. A to Mr. B, what value is there in having possession of such a bill of collection? What difference is there in the value of such a shtar with a date in it versus one without a date? So in a case like that, the division where one is holding onto the toref and the other is holding onto the toface, yohiv le heich de beini beini. That difference in value, beini beini means that difference in value, will be the amount that the one holding the toface will pay to the one holding the toref, the one holding the part of the document with the date in it. The achloku nami damoran, the term yachloku that we saw earlier, Rav Shimon Gamliel spoke about yachloku. That is also ledomi, is a reference to a value division, not a cutting up of the document with a scissors, as one might have thought up till now. And at this point, you can see we have a new marking. The triangle marking is the attempt of the Gemara to support the description of the word yachloku as being a value, a cash or value division, as opposed to cutting the document up. So take note of the triangle that you see here and the upper part of Daf Ches Amud Aleph as well. A couple more. On the side of the Gemara, our Mivneh heading, we indicate that the triangular nisyonos attempts lochiach the chokim equals ledomi. The double underline marking that you see will be dechios, rejections of whatever support we're trying to bring to this explanation. The Gemara, the ilo teimahachi, if you don't say this, if you don't say that yachloku is a financial division, but rather it's a literal physical division, shnayim oichsim betalis, the Mishnah that opened our Masechta spoke about two holding on to a garment, and the Mishnah went on to speak about yachloku, they're dividing the garment. Hachi nami depalgi, would you think that it means they physically cut apart the talis that they are competing over? Ha'af sedua, that would be a total ruination of it. So, therefore, what does yachloku in the Mishnah that opened the Masechta mean? It means a financial division. The Gemara says, holo kasha, that doesn't represent a challenge to the possibility of a literal physical cutting apart. We continue at the top of Daf Chesom and Aleph. The Chazio Lektanim, it's fit for small people. Namely, a large talis that two people are fighting over. The Mishnah's reference to Yachloku might in fact mean take a scissor, cut it apart, and each half is fit for katana, for small people. And therefore you don't have any proof from the opening Mishnah that the term Yachloku indicates a value division. The Gemara asks, though, or continues, V'hod Yama Rava, im hoysa talis muzheves chalkin, if you had a talis with a golden strip in it, chalkin, it's split. Hachi nami de palgi la, are you going to say that this golden talis is cut apart with the scissors? Ha'af sedua, you've ruined it. So, rather, it must mean the term chalkin is a financial value division, where the item is sold and the money received is split between the two competing parties. Ha lo kasha, that too is not proof that chokin means financial division. Are you going to say then you're taking a golden talis and splitting it physically? Yes, that's what we're suggesting. De chazi levnei molochim. It's fit for the young children of kings, princes. Princes will wear golden talisim, and since they are young, they're small, the physical division justifies dividing it just like that. So we don't see yet a proof in an earlier source that yachloku means financial division. Well, the Mishnah taught of two people riding on an animal, each one claiming it to be theirs. The animal is split. Hachi nami de palgi la, are you going to physically split the animal off? Said, oh, you've killed it, you've ruined it. Bishlamo tohara chazilabasa, granted, you can still talk about a physical cutting apart of a kosher variety animal. Torah is a kosher variety animal, where you would slaughter it and then physically split it between the two competing parties. Elatamea, but two people competing over an unkosher variety animal, a horse. Are you going to say there that the chokin of the Mishnah, that the division of the Mishnah means cut the horse into two parts? Who has to do? You've ruined the horse. You've killed it. The two parts are practically worthless. Eloladomi, rather, there, the Mishnah that spoke about the two riding on an animal, including an unkosher riding animal, the Mishnah resolution of split, the resolution of their controversy through splitting it, must mean a financial division. Hachanami ladomi, so too, in the other cases where a split is made, it's a financial, a value division, not a physical division, cutting apart, tearing asunder. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.